Let's start officially, and now, yeah, welcome everyone, and yeah, let's discuss the time. So, to me, you know, we actually started at this time at the start, and this time suits best for me. I wouldn't care so much if it's hour sooner, but this time is better for me. Whether it's in UTC or different time zone, I don't have a strong preference, but maybe as Timo said, you know, we had problems with that before, and before we were using UTC. I'm not sure if this solved the problem, but I don't know. I don't have like strong opinions on this.
I'll also jump in that I know from my side, it definitely makes it easier with the time that it currently is now, for since we're over in the US, it's fairly early in the morning. So this makes it a little easier at this time to change, whether it's based on UTC or anchored to Pacific time, for instance. I have less opinion there.
That is a fair comment, but that's a different point. That is a question of which is the most convenient hour for people right now. We have been on the previous time an hour before this for the last 6 months, and nobody's really complained about it. So that's a different argument. The argument here is whether we shift this meeting for everybody every 6 months, or whether we are misaligned with the US time zones for 2 weeks every 6 months. Because it's no perfect solution either way. I get that, right? But like I said before, I'll repeat this for the third time. All the other Hyperledger working groups, I checked them just before this meeting. I went through all of them. They all anchor on a specific time zone, i.e. not UTC. So for consistency's sake, across Hyperledger, we shouldn't do that, right? And let's be consistent. Now, whether we then have it anchored at 4 o'clock Central European time, i.e. now, or 3 o'clock, is a different argument. And I'm you know, that it's going to be convenient for some people and not others. I get that. And we can talk about that as a different point. What I'm saying is, I don't think it's a good idea to anchor it to UTC for consistency without all the other Hyperledger groups. And we saw today that people came along at the wrong time, so it doesn't work. People get confused. My calendar has moved it to 4 o'clock. I came in an hour, and my calendar's now got confused. My Outlook calendar can't even handle it. I don't know why. So, you know, it's not a good idea for me. But I mean, take a vote or something. I mean, whatever. We need to move on.
Yeah, you know, and. Okay, I think I get the point that we would like to align it across the Hyperledger. That's valid point. I don't think if your calendar does something, Mike also does something wrong all the time. Like even if it's like UTC or not, it doesn't matter. It's always confusion to me. So yeah, but you know, so my question, because I understood like you started that your this time is not like good for you, but if I understand correctly, it's not about the exact time, it's about the time zone, right?
If you take a vote, you know, half the people on this group will say this time is better, the other half will say the previous time an hour ago was better, and that's fine. I mean, you're never going to please all the people, but what I am saying is shifting the meeting by an hour for 6 months every 6 months, I don't think is a very good idea. But I mean, I'm not going to make the call on that, and it's you know, if you want to leave it at this one and leave it on UTC, fine, do it, but I'm just making a point.
Okay, so yeah, I don't know, so maybe we can vote for this one. We haven't voted for anything else in this session, so maybe that can be our first time thing.
Go with some of the W3C things. They vote on everything all the time.
Yeah, I don't know how this works. So does anyone know how it works, this voting thing in here?
Well, one thought there is we potentially could put it to Discord.
Good idea. I think it would be better. If I'm explaining it in my English, maybe it would be more confusing than written in the Discord. So yeah, that would be great. Okay, let's vote in Discord then.
Say is I take the point about where are you, James? On the West Coast, right?
I'm
Somewhere over there, mountain time, which is what, 9 hours. So it's pretty early. I mean, if you want to move this meeting to make it an hour later in the morning for you guys in mountain time, that's perfectly fine. I mean, it's going to clash for me, but I understand the people who have to come along very early in the morning, and I think that probably is a more pressing concern for people than the fact that I'm clashing with another meeting. Everybody's going to have clashes, but so I mean, leave it at this time, but just vote on the UTC thing if you like. I don't know. I mean, voting on meeting times is a bit silly, but okay. The UTC thing, yeah, what you want to vote on. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No problem with that.
Let's do that then.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, and then let's move. Maybe first thing before we move to agenda, is there anyone who would like to introduce their self? Now yeah, it's the time.
Jakob is implying that I should introduce myself then. Right, so nice to meet you all. My name is Niall, and very recently I joined ABSA as a mobile software engineer for the blockchain team. So I'll be working on SSI technologies and integrating Aries Framework JavaScript into our existing applications.
Great. Thanks, Niall. That was what I meant. But is there anyone else? Maybe I haven't checked the list. Okay, so yeah, let's get started. I didn't mention antitrust policy. I should do so. So here it is. Let's go to agenda. So I just briefly add three ideas about OB and the exchange. But maybe, of course, as always, we can go through all of those things in here. So you know, is there anything to issue credential V2? Mike, do you want to discuss anything about this? I saw that there is PR for that, the main branch.
Yeah, that way we are. We have gone through several iterations of review comments, and I assume we're kind of fairly close to being able to merge that. So I'm working on JSON-LD attachments at the moment. I've been working very closely with Kareem this week. He is producing the W3C credential service, which has got all the new sort of cryptography for W3C credentials, ED25519, and later BBS Plus, and that's going quite well. In fact, I've done the JSON-LD attachment that's completed for ED25519. Got to write some more tests. Next week, it'll be BBS Plus signatures. So that's progressing very nicely and should be done, as you know, fairly quickly. We've stalled on present proof V2 because I think Prasad is still doing other stuff, so that's something that's going to have to be scheduled in. But issue credentials is coming along.
Okay, that's great. I'm happy to hear that there are some progress with BBS. That's amazing. Okay, so thank you. Present proof V2. So. Karim or
I can comment on it. I don't know if Prasad here. I can. I'm not sure. Oh, there you are. Wow, I think you're probably better equipped to.
I have almost completed all the comments on the PR, and again started for a review, and also I have asked one. Query related to the proposal part of V2 to Timo, and he has replied me, and I will be updating that and will again push the code. So that's the status right now. So in the proposal part, the major change we have that V1 creates a proposal based on the presentation preview, and in V2, it directly creates the proof request. So we will need a common interface to accept both the properties, like for preview we need attributes, and for proof request we need requested attributes. So those kind of common interface we will need for proposal, yeah, in the module. So we'll be working on it.
Okay, great, thanks. Yeah, then a revocation notification protocol. I saw that there was some discussion in PR about this one. James, maybe yeah, small update or yeah.
This had been mostly waiting with me. There's a small update that I need to make to the RFC PR. And then there's a couple of review comments and suggestions from Timo that we would like to implement. So expecting to be able to have this be mergeable by next AFJ call. So.
Okay, great. Okay, and then I see in the attachment format, but to be honest, I'm not sure what is it about and who is working on this.
It's a part of issue credential and present proof feed too. It's being able to exchange indie credentials. It's not a separate RFC, but it's like part of the issue credential and present proof PRs.
Ah, okay. Okay. Great. Great. Okay. Thanks. Then did extension out of band. So I actually put point to agenda for today about those two. So yeah, briefly, I continue with refactoring mostly there. I removed DigDocs and bear keys from connection records, so now it's mainly based on out of band records and DIT records. Yeah, basically what's missing there is those three points, mainly those three points. So yeah, James, maybe we can start with your ideas.
Yeah, I had a couple of things that I want to talk about with out of band and did exchange, but I first want to actually I think I have some idea of what we're trying to do with it, but will you be able to explain what we're trying to do with the DID registry? I think a quick overview there would be at least helpful for me.
DID registry? Do you mean, okay. I know about DIT resolver and DIT repository, and I'm not sure what do you mean by
repository.
Okay. So as far as I understand it, as I know about that, it's basically, you know, we had before, as I've said, we have before our DIT doc and their DIT doc. We have it as a property on DIT on connection record, and the idea is to move from this and store those DIT docs into the DIT repository, and it will work the same. It actually works the same way for the DIT exchange protocol. So from, you know, old connection protocol, for both old connection protocol and the new DIT exchange protocol, it works in the way that you need to send the doc, you know, in both protocols. You are not able to resolve it. If you are not able to resolve it from DID, from just DID, you need to send it as part of message. And then we need to store those documents somehow, somewhere. So we are using DIT repository for this. So if it's peer DIT, you store it into this, but the same, currently is the same for all DIT docs. And that's maybe also a bit tricky in regard with audit format and peer audit, but maybe that's a different issue. Did I explain it?
I think one of my questions is, if we're keeping the DID in the connection record and then we actually try and go and send a message, are we going to just directly resolve that? Or is part of the resolver service actually check the DID registry to see if we've already resolved the DID doc, if that makes any sense?
Sorry, can you repeat the last sentence? As part of the registry, I didn't get it.
So if we have the DID in the connection record, and then we go to send a message to that connection.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll get the DID from the connection record. And then from what I understand, we were mostly just resolving that DID again versus actually going to the DID repository to get the DID done.
Yeah, I think we should resolve it from via resolver, but the resolver goes to the repository, to the repository, if it's peered it. So yeah, we have DID, we are resolving DID, and we get the DID document, but the DID document is stored in the repository. Timo, maybe you can clarify it more.
I think now, I'm not sure how it's really integrated now into the OOIB work, but the idea from it is that in the end, we just store the DID in the connection record, and when we want to send a message, we resolve it to the resolver, and that either for pair DIDs takes it from storage, or for ledger DIDs it resolves it from the ledger, or it could be coming from a cache if we add that later on. So that no matter what, it goes to the resolver, and you just get a DID document, but it can be cached, it can be gotten from the ledger, or it can be gotten from storage. So there's no different handling needed for public or peer DIDs.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, and maybe as Timo said, it's not 100% implemented in current solution, but I'm trying to achieve that. Maybe there are some points where we are not doing that as we should, but yeah, the point is as Timo said. Okay, James, anything else?
My other topic is with out of band is on the out of band reuse portion. So we've, Patrick and I have been able to actually get out of band reuse completed and working on based off of an older branch of what you have been doing, Yacoub. So we're at this point there's a lot of differences between our branch and your branch. So we're gonna need to kind of probably manually go through and try and redo what we did in your branch, if that makes sense. But I think we've gone through a lot of the major hurdles there. So my thinking here is to do a PR to the out-of-band branch here pretty soon. What we went with implementation-wise, which I wanted to get feedback on to see if we needed to adjust, was for connection reuse, we have to detect when we scan an invitation, we have to see, do we have any matching DIDs from previous invitations so we can see if we have an existing connection we can use. This means that we need to be able to query connections by the invitations DIDs in some fashion. So the strategy we did here was to attach the invitation DID on the connection record, add a property for the invitation DID and add that to the tag so it's queryable. And one other thing I'll add there based off of the RFC is that if it's a service block, so it's not actually a DID, we will just encode that as a DID peer method too. So it will always be a DID for the purposes of that.
Okay. So maybe I try to reiterate. You are talking about the need to find if we have existing connection for out of band invitation, right? Like, do we have existing connection? Okay. Yeah, I agree. It should be based on that peer did num algo 2 for the services. Right now, I'm just looking for, I think, I'm trying to find a connection based on just keys, recipient keys, which is not full. It should work. Like, it should take services and encode it. And yeah, basically what it does is it's comparing not only recipient keys, but also routing keys and endpoints, as I understood that. So that's the first thing. But the other thing, I'm still not sure. Why do you need to have this invitation DID in out of band record? Because right now how it works is that there is out of band ID in connection record.
So
would it be enough?
So the invitation did, we put that in the connection record.
Invitation did. Okay. Because there is already out of band ID, which is like ID of the out of band record if we receive one.
We in theory could I guess the issue being is we're receiving when a new invitation comes in, the IDs won't match. It's going to be the DID that matches. So we in theory might be able to have the invitation DID stored on the out of band record. We find that, and then we do a second query on the connection records to see what out of band records match that. It just seems like a little bit more work where it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, Timo just sent something into the chat. So Timo, do you mean that? Or maybe, okay, different question. James, by DID, invitation DID, do you mean this num algo to peer DID constructed from the services? Do you mean this or other DID? Because I'm not sure what you mean by invitation DID.
Either the ones constructed from the services or the DID that we are going to use from. If, for instance, if the service the services from the invitation, it actually is a DID, we can just use that versus encoding it into a peer DID. So yes, essentially.
Okay. Yeah, you know, what I did is because I also added DID to out of band record right now to basically store the routing information. We can maybe discuss how to improve it. Maybe it's not nice, best approach, but I needed to do this to remove other stuff, other parts. So this is the DID, which is related to the recipient keys or like.
We can't see your code.
No. Oh, no need, sorry.
The meeting.
Yeah. Sorry. So I did. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Timo. You saved me. Can you see now?
Yep.
Yeah.
So as I said, I added DID to out of band record, which is related to the routing because it's needed if you want to reuse the keys from out of band and not creating new keys when you are responding to requests. We need to store this information. It's a question if this is good idea or not. Maybe it can be stored in some other way. But the point is, I think it must be stored somewhere, somehow. And the other thing, which is part of connection record, actually is out of band ID. So this out of band record has some ID, and that's part of a connection in here. I'm not sure, but this is still, I guess this is still not good enough for your case, James, right? So we need to add another DID.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, but what would be the DID? It would be the DID constructed from services, or?
Yeah, so for instance, if we're going to use the first entry in the services, that will be the DID. And if it is just a service block, we encode it into a pure DID.
Okay.
So, and potentially some code here, you being able to see the code might help with the understanding here. I think my biggest question to try and run by the community was if there was concern of adding a property for the invitation DID on the connection, or if that was, if there was other work that was happening that would make that a stupid decision, you know?
Hi, James, and hi, everyone. Sorry, I joined late. Actually, I am also a member of community, and I was facing the similar issue that was related to credential, out-of-bound credentials. Like, we have a demo that is built on AJF, and I'm issuing the out-of-bound credentials via email to and trying to save it on my Lissy wallet. When I try to save it, it says it is able to interpret the credentials, but it says like we can't save it on local storage. And then I moved to the Trinsic wallet and I tried to do the same on Trinsic wallet. And when I tried to save it, it says A2A messaging transportation error. Do you think is it the issue because of two different frameworks, or is it something else? Because they are able to read the credentials. Like, is it able to show me the content of the credential and everything? But when I click on accept and it try to save it in the wallet, it shows the error.
Two questions there for you, I think, is the or one thing I would look at is making sure that your networks are matching. And then the question I would have is it sounds like this is specifically just about the credential offer and not relating to actually out of band, but if you have clarification on that, I have to answer other questions.
Okay, so I tried it in two ways. When I tried it using the connection, it is working perfectly fine when I have a connection with the other person. But when I, in the scenario where I don't have connection, I'm just sending on some business scenarios, we are throwing email and shooting emails and issuing credentials. On that scenario where there is no invitation accepted, in that particular scenarios, it is throwing some these errors.
Yeah, I think it's not related to because you know you are using the old out of band, and what we are discussing right now is like the new version. So there, you know, the problem can be still there, but I think I wouldn't say it's something like that. Like, I think I don't know what's the problem, but it seems, hard to say what exactly is the problem. Maybe if you share the error in Discord,
I have shared the screenshot in the Discord.
Yeah.
And if you could see, I can also share the invitation, like the invitation which I am getting using the out of bound API. I am getting the DITCOM URL, which I can also share with you. Just give me a second. I can give that to you.
I'm yes.
Just, mm-hmm. Can I share it in Discord?
Sorry.
In the meet, can I share the invitation in the Discord, the connection invite? Sorry, the format of the credential which I'm getting by from the out of bound API. Shall I share the response in the Discord? The response from the out of band, out of bound credential API.
Yeah. I think you can.
Yeah, this is my invitation.
Okay.
This is what I have generated, mm-hmm. and when I tap it on my phone and open it using Trinsic or Lissy wallet, I am able to see the credential. But when I accept it or try to save it in wallet, it throws error.
Mm, okay. Yeah, I don't know right now, so it's hard to say. But yeah, it's related to the old invitation, so not this new one.
So would you please do me a favor, like the latest update, the agent with the latest updates? Is it updated on the GitHub repo? The latest updates, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in the branch feed/out of band.
Fe/out of band.
I will share the screen. So it's this branch actually, and this pull request is about the new stuff. But it's still kind of work in progress. So yeah, I'm not sure if this help, but if you will test it and give us feedback, maybe you know if there is something wrong, or I don't know, I think it would be good, but you know, take it with reserve that it's still work in progress.
Yeah, sure, maybe I can try it and give my feedback to you, like if we try the scenario using this version, and will it work, if it is working or not.
Yeah,
because okay. Like most of the times, with most of the scenarios it is working, but for this particular scenario, like we have created a POC and most of the functionalities are working perfectly fine, but when I implemented this for this particular, we are facing the issue.
Mm-hmm. okay interesting, but yeah, that's good to know. So yeah, great.
Okay, thanks
for sharing. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, maybe back, James, back to you. You asked the question about if it makes sense to edit there. I'm quite good with that. Is there, because adding the attribute there, I'm, you know, maybe if you can then share your code with me, then, because it's hard to imagine what will be the clash, you know, between our separate like things. So
I will send the branch here very shortly.
Okay.
The only other thing I'd say on the out of band reuse is we've built out the functionality for the sending of the out of band reuse message, and then the waiting with the observable for the accept message. So that behavior we've built out.
Okay, great. That's something I wanted to ask. So you are working on that. And you are basically done with this out of band reuse, or
Yes, with the okay. I think the asterisk that we will need to merge back into your code, and that'll take
yeah.
some.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I see. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Then please, if you can send me, you know, links to your code, I would like to see it. And yeah, then we need to maybe we'll need to figure out how to merge it together. I'm happy to help with that somehow. And also I want to ask about BitKey, because I know that we discussed that you were working on that a bit. What's the status there? Like, are you working on that, or do you plan to work on that again? Or should I look at it?
So we had looked at this, and we'll have to check to see what's on your side of the branch, because it at least was working when we were working on our interoperability with ACPI. So, but I think from when I was looking at your branch, we'll probably need to do some updates there. So happy to look at that. But that's also something that you can tackle if wanted, but I think we've already done a decent amount there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm thinking. Yeah. So because Timo, you know, there is the PR. I'm not sure if you know about this, and this is actually the other editions. So when you are talking about my other changes, you mean those one or what's in here, merge?
The connection matters removal. I actually okay. looked at the branch and such to see if we could, how difficult it would be to merge into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Share the code, and then maybe we'll figure out together how to proceed with this. And one thing I wanted to ask, what was it? Edit keys. Yeah, I know. Okay. So yeah, Timo wrote some notes in here. So I will look at those first, and then we can discuss. And then then we can discuss where I can help with those three other things, if I can somehow. And
I kind of skipped a little bit. I jumped to the out of band reuse. So I don't know if we touched on the preserving the old div format.
Not yet. Okay. And maybe one thing to you know, just to clarify, we discussed this invitation did and numalgo 2 built based on services. Have you worked on that, or do you plan to work? I can look at it, because it's one of the suggestions in this PR. So I can take this one, because there is some method to create this peer did from did doc, but not from services. I think that we need to do small updates around this, but it shouldn't be so difficult.
Some assistance there would be helpful. So, because we've got the logic working. I stole your creating the peer did from services from the did exchange, but right now that's a I did a copy and paste versus mm-hmm. actually putting that into one place that we can then reference. So if we can have a place that I wasn't necessarily sure where would be best to put a method to generate the peer did from services.
Okay. You know, my idea before you brought the idea with the invitation did to connection request storing this did, I thought that I just create this, you know, this peer did in here from this service, but I didn't consider storing it. So, you know, that was my idea. And because here is the method for finding existing connection. So here I wanted to from the service create the peer did. And also, yeah, then, yeah, then that's right. We would need to iterate through all connections and create the peer data from those connections. But as you suggested, it would be great if we have, if it would be good to have like attribute peer data on connection, and then we can find the connection based on this peer data in here directly, not iterating through connections.
I just for clarification, James, yeah. I think the why you want to store the date is because of a rotation of the key where the actual date used for the connection is different from the invitation, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think, Jakub, it won't work to just construct it here, because if you use another date for the invitation and then during the request response you or during the response you switch the date you used, then we won't have reference anymore of the initial date from the invitation. I think that's where we need it for.
Yeah, I can show what we did in this exact function if that's helpful, YouTube.
Okay, do you want to show it now?
Yeah.
It's yours.
Awesome. So here what we're doing is we're looping through the services, and if it's already a did, then we just that's the new invitation did, and then if it's not, we're encoding that into a peer did using this method that I grab from your did exchange portion. And then in the connections module, we added the functionality for finding by invitation did, which will then return the appropriate connection record. And then we will return undefined if there is no record that we found. And then if there is at least one record, we'll loop through until one of them is actually complete, because we need to actually have the connection be complete in order to reuse it. yeah, so that's what I have put together here.
Yeah, okay, yes, it seems good to me. Yeah, that's something I have in my mind, so it's quite, yeah, similar at least.
Mm-hmm. So this part, the create peer did doc, this
yeah, we will figure it out. I will think about it, how to where it should be. Maybe this should be inside this module somewhere.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I just wasn't quite sure, yeah, where would be best, you know.
Yeah, so. I'm also not 100%. This is just first idea that put it to bit modules, because there is no, if I see correctly, there are no other dependencies. So yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be the place.
Uh-huh. The only other thing I think I would add is that I'm not sure how the did repository will play in here, if we should put it in there. So that's kind of an unknown. And then it's also, we want to be doing method two versus one. So that'll need to be an argument to be able to change that.
Yeah, okay. So maybe I can look at this and take this code and use it and add it to my current PR, if you want.
Yeah.
If it helps. But I don't want to complicate it for you more than it's right now. But yeah, it seems that this change is just those two places, maybe some attributes in record somewhere, but otherwise it should be possible to do it like you know, without other changes across the code.
Yes, I think that's correct. One of the other things that we've done is being able to use did solve. So I think one of the things that I noticed was there might be a couple places in your current branch where we'll need to resolve the dids appropriately. But so my thinking here, I guess, is that maybe you and I can chat some on Discord on how best to split up some of those pieces.
Yeah. Good idea.
Awesome.
Okay. And yeah, and then to that soft, how I call that issue, preserving all the format. So where should I start? Basically, right now, how it works is that I'm converting all, like I take I take did doc and I create peer, like, so for old connection protocol, for the new connection protocol, we are using peer dids by definition. And then, and you know, I'm returning back to our discussion before about resolving this did documents based on connection did. We are able to resolve this peer dids with our resolver, because there is the method, peer method for this, and we are able to resolve it. But with older protocol, with connection protocol, the did previously was without any prefix, and then therefore it's not possible to resolve it. So what I did is that I create from did doc, I create did, peer did, and then I store this did as connection did, and did document I store, you know, together with this did in did repository. And the question is, or like the problem is that then we don't have the original DID, which I can show it, you know. I'm not sharing, so I will share the screen briefly. Exchange, do I have? Yeah, here. So where is it? Is there an edit? The document. Did doc, okay, in here. Yeah, so basically the old format, all this did is just this in the did without any prefix. And I take this document, create peer did, and store this peer did into connection record. But then we are losing this like original, let's say, in the did, and maybe it's a problem. I don't know. Any ideas to this? I think, Timo, you suggested something that we should store the old did to metadata, to connection record, for some future reference. But I still don't know how to, what's the best approach.
Yeah, I think for now, maybe storing it allows us to at least reference it later on. And I think this might be a discussion for the ARIES working group also, because I'm not sure how it's supposed to work. Let's say if we move more to DITCOM v2 and you need to have qualified DITs everywhere, what happens with connections created before that? And how can we consistently migrate them to a qualified DIT, and so both parties understand it? So I think if we store it for now, then we have the reference on it. And then if we later on, if we decide something on it in the working group, we can we can still reference the old DIT, so we at least be able to do with it what we need to do with it.
Yeah, okay, good point. Okay, so yeah, would it be possible to create the old DIT from the peer DIT?
If it is a if there's only one key in probably yeah, because then the DIT is the first 16 bytes of the public key. But otherwise no, so it will probably lead to some issues. I don't know if that's the if we know that for sure, then yeah, we can probably make this that assumption.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I think if we store it somewhere now, that's not a problem. Maybe we can, because we can all we can always remove it. So in the future, when we will figure out how to do it in a better way, or how, when we would like to get rid of it at all. So metadata is the way, store it to metadata, the old version. Is it the idea?
I think that's what I would go with until, unless we have come up with a different methodology in the ARIES working group call. That's what I would start with at least.
Yeah. Okay, I will look at it. I think that's all for today. Is there anything else anyone would like to discuss?
I know one question that came up in the ARIES bifold call was wondering about what the timeline is for 020, because I know that we were targeting, I believe, end of this month, if I recall correctly, and I don't think that's quite where we're at. So I'm curious if we have at least a high level idea of what our timeline is there.
If everything is merged, then we're ready to go. I think issue credential v2 is ready for review. I think it's fine, almost ready. Present proof v2 may need a bit more work, but I think it's also getting near. So then we need OOB data exchange to have a final PR open so we can merge it. The breaking changes. I opened the PR for breaking changes. So once that merged, we only need to add scripts for the breaking changes we made. So I can't give any indication because it keeps turning out to be taking longer than initially said. So
That makes sense to me. One thing to we may be able to also do just based off of how long things take is we could consider doing another release for present proof v2 if that one doesn't, if all the other ones are complete, we may be able to do that one first. That might also apply for other features as well, but that one was the one that came to mind based off of the status update earlier.
Yeah, I think that I think we need that would work. It also depends on what do we want from the next release. I think there's a lot of small improvements now in it. If we're happy with only issue credential v2, yeah, I'm fine with that. I do think we really need to have DIT exchange and out of band in it.
I agree.
I think it doesn't really make sense to to do on the issue credential, especially now we're pretty near, right? I don't know how soon or how urgent this is, this 2.0 release, but I like from the looks of it, it's not going to take more than a week.
Well, I think it's not gonna. It's probably like with the review process and getting everything, and then before we can't make a release at the moment. Those PRs are merged because we have to do a bit of testing with it before we release it. So, I think that will take some time still.
Okay. Yeah, to me, I don't know. It makes more sense to have to. Protocol 2 versions than just one, but I'm fine with anything.
Yeah, no, I think that also makes sense. And we could then say, yeah, only did exchange out of band, but I think currently issue credential present proof are already in review. So yeah, would make sense then to also include them.
Can I ask a quick question for Kareem, Timo, and others? Someone popped me a question earlier on from Ontario saying, do we have an up-to-date tar file that we've built? I know we were building tar files on a regular basis a little while ago. Kareem, am I right in saying in order to do that, we would need to kind of merge the two branches, ICV2 and PPV2, and then do a single tar from both of them, which could be kind of quite painful. So I'm kind of thinking we'd probably be better off merging it, waiting for the full merge into main, or have I got that wrong? That's what we used to do, wasn't it?
We had the joint branch.
But we haven't updated that for a while, have we?
No, not at all.
Well, so what is our position on if they want a tar file? What is the best response we can give them? Is it to say you'll have to wait? Is it to say we'll do it, or what do we do?
I mean, it's not impossible. So I guess it's just a matter of updating the branch and then creating the tar file.
Depends how urgent it is, doesn't it? I suppose. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll keep that in mind. Thanks.
Nice one.
Okay, guys, so we are out of time. So we should end it here. So thank you for being here and see you next week. Bye.
Cheers.